Ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about the furnace. How many of you here this morning feel like you're really going through something? It just seems like the last little bit, you just been kind of hammered on a little bit. Well, I think I got a word for you today. And God's going to help you. And the Word of God's going to help you. We all go, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Stuff happens. You know, we live in the world, we go through problems and things like that happen. Sometimes, though, the Bible teaches that we suffer for the sake of righteousness. Because of our position, because of our belief, there are times when the enemy actually attacks you because of what you believe. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that one of the strategies of the enemy is to wear down the saints. Amen? And I believe we're living in an age when that is happening. The enemy is literally trying to wear the people of God down. And one thing that we see happening in our world today is that Christianity is being marginalized. And it doesn't have the prominence that it once had. But God wants you to know that He has a plan for you. And even though you're going through stuff and going through something, that God is there for you. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10 says, "Behold, I have refined you. I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." God is saying, "I have separated you. I have chosen you. I have set you apart. I have purposed you." Where? In the furnace of affliction. God has a furnace that He uses to do a work in our life. And some of you may feel like you've been in the furnace, you've been in the fire, you've been in the trial. But God is telling us, you need to look at that furnace differently. You're not looking at it right. You need to look at what's happening in your life in a different way. Because God has purposes that are sometimes hard for us to see. Those of us that are parents, that have had to discipline our children, and you know, children, they didn't always understand why they were being disciplined or didn't always understand the purpose of the discipline. But as a parent, you understood that you loved them. And you didn't want your children just to run loose and not have some discipline, not have some boundaries in their life. Years and years and years ago, we had a family in our church that was having a lot of trouble with a teenage daughter. And she was sneaking out of the house at night, and she was just out of control. And they just didn't know what to do, and they wanted me to talk with her. And I was talking with her, and one of the things she said to me, and my children were really young at this point, I learned a powerful lesson this day talking to that young lady. And she looked at me and she said, "Brother Glenn, my parents don't love me." And I said, "What would make you say something like that? I know your parents love you. Why would you say that?" She said, "Because they never say no." Man, that went all over me. Listen to what I'm telling you. They never say no. They let me pretty much do whatever I want to do. And you know what that young lady was screaming for? Boundaries. She wanted somebody to be the parent. She wanted somebody to stand up. Now listen to me. I can promise you that the day you give her boundaries, she's going to kick and scream and fuss, and you're going to have a fight on your hands. But way down deep inside, that's what she wanted. You know why? God created us that way. And sometimes we fight against the constraints that God puts on us. We want to be free. We want to do whatever we want to. God, why did you do this or why did you do that? Folks, there's purpose in it. God wants what's best for you. He created you. He knows what's best for you. If a train is going down the track, just chugga, 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 chugga down the track, and the train decides, you know what, it looks really nice over there. Look at those pastures and those meadows and those beautiful flowers over there to the right. I'm tired of riding this same rail every day. I'm tired of riding this same track every day. I want to do something on my own. I want to go that way. And so the train decides to just take a hard right. What's going to happen? He's not going very far. Because he was designed to run on those rails. God created you a certain way. And he designed us to operate a certain way. And we fight against that. But you know what? If you'd learn to surrender to it, your life would be a lot better. Just learn to flow in what God has created for you. So sometimes God takes us through the furnace for a purpose. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Our next verse says this morning, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed," or his attitude toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated." Now, I'm going to get back to that furnace. We're going to talk about it. But here's what I want you to see. God prepared a furnace. I said God prepared a furnace. And it had a different result than anybody could have thought. God was in that whole thing. God masterminded the whole thing. God was in control of the whole situation. And he always is. God does not intend to take you out of your situation, but he does intend to bring you through it. We'll say that again. God does not intend to take you out of your situation, but to take you through it. We're always praying for God to take us around it. We're always praying for God to, we want to avoid it. We don't want to go through it. And that's natural. Nobody wants to go through a problem. Nobody wants to go through a hard situation. Nobody wants to go through that stuff. But God sometimes wants you to go through it. God sometimes needs you to go through it. God sometimes purposes for you to go through it. And rather than you avoiding it altogether, the Lord has designed for you to go through it. David had a Goliath ahead of him. Amen? David had to go through a fire. He had to go through a lot of them if you read about his life. Moses had a Red Sea ahead of him. Joshua had a wall ahead of him. Joseph had a prison ahead of him. Paul had a shipwreck ahead of him. It doesn't matter. These were God's people. These were God's commanders. These were God's generals. These were the greats of the kingdom of God. They are in the hall of faith. But all of them went through stuff. All of them went through trials. All of them went through problems. Even the great men and women of God didn't avoid it. Even the great men and women of God didn't miss out on troubles. They had them. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. Amen? But God delivers us from them all. Hallelujah. Amen. So there will be affliction. There will be trouble. There will be stuff. It will happen. But God will see you through it. But you got to stay steady. You got to hold the course. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to stay focused when you're going through it. That's not the time to quit. That's not the time to surrender. That's not the time to give up. You're not where you are by accident. If you're going through a furnace today, if you feel like you're in a trial today, you're in a problem today, you're not there by accident. You were chosen and marked for this. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God is conforming you. God is shaping you. We just read the verse in Isaiah where you're being refined, you're being shaped, you're being molded, you're being developed. And sometimes that's hard. When you're teaching and when you're training, I know I had to let my children go through some hard places sometimes, and it hurt me. I remember one time the Boy Scouts here in our church were going on a canoeing trip. I don't remember the name of the river, but it was in North Carolina, and they were all excited about going, and little Jonathan wanted to go, and he was just kind of at that age where I was, I don't know, and he just begged to go, wanted to go. And wanted to go camping and wanted to hang out with the Boy Scouts and wanted, you know, so we decided to let him go. And so I went, a group of men went to do the canoeing thing, and then we were going to leave. The Boy Scouts were going to be there like for 2 weeks or a week. So us group of men arrived a couple of days later after the boys had already got up there. We arrived just to go canoeing. That was the canoe trip, by the way, that almost cost me my life. I'll have to tell that story sometime. Oh, what a day that turned out to be. We wound up being on some pretty heavy-duty whitewater. I had no idea it was going to be anything like that. But anyway, we did the canoe thing. We spent the day together and survived it. And we were loading up. And little Jonathan came running up to me and wrapped his arms around my legs and said, "Please, Daddy, take me home with you." And I mean, buddy, he had me wrapped up. He was clinging, please, Daddy, take me home. Please, I love you, Daddy. I want to go home, Daddy. And man, I want to just grab him up and say, "Come on, let's go home," you know. But something inside said no. He begged to come on this trip. He wanted to come on this trip. And all those other little boys were watching him. He was in the eyes of all those little boys, and he was wanting to quit, and he was wanting to come home. And I pried his arms off my legs, and I pushed him back, and I said, "Jonathan, this is something you wanted to do, and you begged to do it, and you're going to have to see it through." And I got in that van, and I looked at my little boy standing there bawling, crying as his daddy drove away. It's one of the hardest things I ever had to do. But sometimes you have to do hard things because it's the right thing. One of the reasons our nation is where it's at today is because people won't do the right thing. And they avoid because it's the hard thing, but it's the right thing. So God is leading us because he loves us. Exodus chapter 13 says, just look at this. I'm going to prove this. This is a powerful verse. Exodus chapter 13 says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had finally let the people go, that God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was the nearest way to go. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. God took them another way. You see that? God didn't take them the shortest way. He took them the long way. Because they were not ready for that path. And you know the way they went was a hard path. They went into a wilderness. When they could have been in the promised land in a few days, God took them a long way around. Sometimes God takes you the long way around. Sometimes God takes you through the desert. Sometimes God takes you through the wilderness because he knows you're not ready for the other. You need to grow. You need to learn. The children of Israel needed some hard places. They needed to be thirsty. They needed to be hungry. They needed to see the hand of God provide for them. They needed to see the blessings of the Lord. Sometimes God takes us through the hard place. But it's to grow us. It's so that we won't give up. It's so that we learn. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son." I want to stop right there. That's exciting to me. God deals with me as a son. God deals with you as his children. God deals with you as his sons and daughters. I know how much I love my children, my grandchildren, and the fact that God deals with me like that, God sees me that way. God deals with me as one of his kids. God deals with me as a son. That is powerful. He says, "For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" A loving father will discipline and chasten his children. Why? Because he loves them. You don't just let them run loose. You don't just let them go without some structure. God has structure for you. And sometimes when we walk through things, it's for a purpose. And believe it or not, it's because God loves you. "God, why are you doing this to me? God, are you angry at me? God, what have I done? Did I mess up? Why am I going through this stuff? Where are you at, God?" I don't believe God loves me. It's because he loves you that he's trying to take you through these places so that you can learn. He says, "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? If we respect our fathers for wearing out our hides, And I've had some of that in growing up. Amen. And I deserved them, you know. And they got my attention. If we respect our fathers for giving boundaries and loving, even though we went through hard places, how much more should we respect and love God for bringing chastening to our lives? Folks, you don't know as much as God knows. And you don't see everything God sees. He is God. And we bow to Him and we trust Him because He knows what He's doing. And here's why this is important. God is forming something in you. God is birthing something in you. Isaiah 43 says, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." You're going to go through it. Isn't that what He's saying? "But I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. I've chosen you. I've formed you. I'm developing you. I'm conforming you to the image of my Son. I'm shaping you into something. I'm molding you into something. So you're going to pass through the waters." That's what He said. "You're going to pass through the water, but I'll be with you. And through the river, but it won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flame won't scorch you. You're going to go through it, but you're going to go through it. You'll get on the other side. Just know that. Just know that you're going to get through this, whatever it is." Now, those three Hebrew young men would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar got angry. And so he commanded that the furnace be heated up 9 times hotter than normal. And that those three Hebrew men be thrown into that furnace. And let's look at what that furnace did. And then we're going to close this morning and we're going to minister. What did that furnace do? First of all, it burned up the people that threw them in. I love that. The furnace that was intended for God's people. The furnace that was intended to destroy God's people ended up burning the people that threw them in. It was so hot, it consumed the people that had to put them in the furnace. The Bible says that what was meant for evil, God will turn to good. Amen. "I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." That we are, how many of you are persuaded? You need to be persuaded. 3 of you are persuaded. How many of you are persuaded? That's better. Amen. Oh, I thought 3 people raised their hand. This is a timely sermon. Now, we need to be persuaded. We need to know that God's going to see us through. There was a man by the name of Haman who hated another man by the name of Mordecai. And he went after him and he did everything he could to sabotage Mordecai and his life and the Jewish people. And he had these gallows built that he just knew Mordecai, because he had favor with the king and Haman had thought he had favor, and he would have Mordecai hanged on those gallows. Guess who hung on those gallows? Haman hung on those gallows. He built his own gallows. God turned it around. You listen to me. Whatever it is you're going through today, God can flip that thing for you and turn it around to where it turns out what was meant for evil will turn to good, and God will turn it into a blessing for you, and it will turn into a blessing that you can't even imagine. But you've got to be faithful, you've got to trust, and you've got to walk through it. If you stop short, and I've stopped short a time or two in my life, and later God showed me if you'd have stayed the path. You see, you got to stay the path. Because God's working something out in you, but He can't work it out in you if you quit. He can't work it out in you if you give up. And God will take this thing and turn it against the enemy. The devil thinks he's so smart, but the Bible says God sits in heaven and laughs. at what the enemy's doing. Folks, God's going to have the last word. You look at it right now, it can be pretty discouraging. You look at it right now, it can be pretty daunting. You look at it right now, it can be pretty frightful. But see, we don't see what God sees. God's looking through a perspective that I can't see. God's sitting on a throne in heaven and sees trillions of mighty angels all around him. God is sitting on a throne in heaven and sees the blood of his dear son that flowed down on Calvary that washed away the sins of the world. He sees things we don't see. And we have to trust that in the end, God's going to work it out. Amen? Because if you read the last book, page of your Bible, we win this thing. Our God wins. We're on the winning team. Amen? Say, I'm on the winning team. I was in Hawaii several years ago and I opened up had a Buddhist Bible on the nightstand. I don't know if they still do that or not, but they had a Holy Bible and a Buddhist Bible. And the last words of the Buddhist Bible, I was curious and I was reading through it. The last words of the Buddhist Bible were, at least the one that was in that room were, and Buddha died. Buddha died. But I go to my Bible and it says, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He is alive forevermore. He's coming back. The other thing the furnace did, it not only destroyed those that threw them in, the Bible says it brought glory to God in all of Babylon. When God got through with that thing, he got glory. Everybody was amazed at what God, even Nebuchadnezzar, that old vindictive, wicked, pagan king, was eventually brought to his knees. In fact, later, if you'll read, I believe Nebuchadnezzar is going to be in glory. I believe he's going to be in heaven. He's got one of the greatest praise chapters in all the Bible, and it was the words of Nebuchadnezzar. After God got through with him, he said, I extol the God of heaven and the King of glory. I lift up and magnify him. That's the same king that threw those boys in the furnace. God just has an amazing way of turning things around. The other thing the furnace did, it burned up the bonds that held them bound. They were all bound up when they threw them in. How many of you feel bound up today? That thing you're going through may be the very thing that burns up your bonds. That thing you're going through, that fire you feel like you're going through, may be the very fire that burns up the chains and the shackles and the ropes and the things you feel like, and you get on the other side, you know, and you thought, man, I thought this was going to be a bad deal. It's turned out to be pretty good. My life is better than it's ever been. And lastly, and this is the best one, they were brought into the presence of Jesus. While they were in the fire, Jesus came and appeared to them, the Son of God. And that's the greatest thing of all. Just being in the presence of the Lord. If we could, if our music is ready, if we could go ahead and have that. But I want you to know that being in the presence of God is the most awesome thing. And sometimes when you walk through these difficult places and you walk through hard places in your life and you're struggling, the greatest times in my life when I experienced the presence of God, the greatest was when I was in a furnace, when I was in a hard place. Some of the hardest places of my life, and Jesus came and I experienced his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's a good God. He's a good God. Adam's got a testimony that I think goes along a little bit of what I'm talking about, and then we're going to...
Thank you, sir. My beautiful wife, everybody. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank y'all to the church, just because when we were having a hard time, y'all helped us out. Y'all don't know that y'all helped us out, but y'all did, and thank y'all. A few months ago, Brother Glenn preached about Lazarus and rolling the stone away. Well, we've had a lot of stones in our lives. Since we've been married, it's been tough, financially, emotionally, spiritually. But God is good. It's funny, I wear a bracelet. It used to say God is good all the time, but the God is good is gone. But I don't have to be reminded that God is good. I just have to be reminded that he is all the time. So it kind of works out. She makes fun of me all the time for having it on. But I keep it. But it's been crazy. It's been nuts. God has stretched us. This message is perfect for us because we have felt like we've been in the fire. And God has pulled us through. We're not all the way through. There's still things working out. But he's helped us financially. I owned a house that I bought with my ex-wife. It's been on the market for a year and a half. We prayed diligently for it to sell. Even had Sam and some other guys from at the cookout to pray for me. Finally, we got a contract right after I talked to Glenn and got advice from him from what God was telling him to tell me. Like 7 days after I spoke with Brother Glenn, we got a contract on the house, and it sold 2 weeks ago. So that burden is gone. I have fought for the last 5 years to keep that house. I've been almost in foreclosures 4 times. Almost up until we were one payment away from going in foreclosure before we sold the house. That's how close it was. And we have learned it's not always in our time. It's always in his time. And he's never late. And I just want to praise him for that. Because, like I said, we're not through the fire yet, but we're getting there. And we're drawing closer together and closer to him. And we thank him for that. And we thank y'all for that, for your support, your prayers, and Brother Grimm with his wisdom and everything that God's given him. And we just want to praise him for that because God is good all the time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I want us to all stand together.